Good morning. We find ourselves in a slightly confused situation this morning. This morning's gospel is the gospel immediately before the gospel that we read last week, which was about what happens after the Magi leave. Joseph gets the dream and flees from Herod and goes to Egypt and comes back and all that. Well, it's been rearranged in order to suit the liturgical schedule and to have the veneration of the Magi set up for Epiphany. Except, of course, that also Epiphany has moved. It's traditionally January the 6th and still is in the Eastern churches and in most of the Western churches, where it's a holy day of obligation and some kind of at least medium-sized festival. In countries like ours where it's not a holiday, they've moved the holy day to the Sunday, so the schedule gets a little more confused nonetheless. But here we are, celebrating slightly out of sequence this Eastern feast of the Epiphany, which is the great feast of the Christmas season in the Eastern Church. What does it have to tell us? Epiphany is revelation, shining forth. It's a proclamation of something you need to know. It's a chance to see something that you need to see. In the East, it's not linked exclusively to the adoration of the Magi. There's three different points in Jesus' life that get linked in this feast. This adoration of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptizer, which we in the West celebrate on a separate feast, which will happen next Sunday, and then also the first miracle recorded in John, the wedding feast at Cana, and the changing of water into wine. All three of those are woven together liturgically in the celebration of Epiphany. And you can see in all of that how God is revealing who Jesus is. There are little hints being dropped in each of these episodes that help us see who Jesus is. In this one, of course, the very fact that the Magi come at all is the first and most important thing. These are Gentiles. Astrologers, wise men, kings, whatever, from the East. People from outside, God's people, are now being brought in. For Matthew, who is a good rabbi and preaching to a largely Jewish Christian congregation, this is an important theme that he will develop all the way through his gospel. That now we are to open our doors and to bring in even the Gentiles. That's quite a revelation in itself. And as, of course, we mine the text, we always find other things. The traditions which we sung about in the opening hymn about gold symbolizing royalty, frankincense, divinity, and myrrh, since it was used primarily as an embalming spice, a presage of this crucifixion, all tell us something about who Jesus is. At the baptism, we see more revelation. Again, just the fact that it happens. Well, one of the gospel writers has John saying, I shouldn't be baptizing you, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus says, it's okay, go along with the program. It's that kind of humility that shows the emptying out of Jesus. Jesus pouring himself forth on us. And yet at the same time, it's that occasion when the Father has a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Son of the Father, and yet obedient to the law, servant of the people. Jesus being revealed. And then in the Cana story, Jesus down at the everyday level, taking pity on this ordinary couple who hasn't had enough money to put together a decent wedding banquet for their son. And there's now all of a sudden plenty of wine. And the symbolism of that the plentifulness of the wine, was of course a sign of the coming of the Mashiach. When Messiah comes, there will be plenty of wine. When Messiah comes, an old Jew will be able to afford to give his son a decent wedding. When Messiah comes, Jesus is being revealed to us in all of these incidents. This is an epiphany of who Christ is. And if we take it a little farther, the flip side of that is perhaps even more important. It's not just that God reveals who Jesus is. It's that Jesus reveals who God is. I mean, I think most people know there is a God. There are some people who make a fairly good living denying that. And whenever somebody makes a fairly good living denying something, I get a little suspicious. I think most people know that there is a God. But what is God? Who is God? Is God an impersonal force that governs the universe? Is God an emotional dream that people hold close to their hearts to protect them? Is God a person? If so, what sort of a person is God? What or who is God? That's the big question. And Jesus reveals who God is, by who Jesus is, by how Jesus lives, by what he says and by what he does. Jesus reveals who God is. When Jesus is told, "This is my beloved Son," he reciprocates. He calls God Abba all his life. That tells you immediately, doesn't it? A lot about God. God is not an impersonal force. God is not an evanescent dream. God is a person to whom one can speak. And God is a mother, a father, someone with whom one can speak in trust and in confidence and in intimacy. A lot of revelation about who God is right there. And the fact that Jesus and God have that kind of relationship, and that we then experience a continuation of that relationship in our own lives, in the Spirit, gives us another insight about God. That God is not just personal. That God is interpersonal. That the highest point of evolution is not the emergence of the independent, autonomous human person, but the related, open, connected human person. That loving and being loved, that the interpersonal communion is a part of the essence of God, God's self. We don't know how to describe that or explain it very well. It took the ancients a few hundred years to go from the basic experience of Jesus and God into the concept of Trinity. And trying to put that concept into words that will work for us may take us another 300 or 400 years. But the basic insight there, that the fundamental reality, the ground of all being, the goal of all life that we call God, is not a thing, not even a person, but a communion of persons. This is an enormous revelation. This is a real epiphany. So, regardless of whether or not you can bring yourself to believe in an astrological phenomenon that all of a sudden becomes peripatetic and does celestial navigation to the point of sitting directly over a house, and the Magi can see it and Herod's spies can't. Regardless of that, look at the meaning below the text. Look at the meaning of the feast. Look at the meaning of the revelation of who Jesus is and who God is. This is what Epiphany, I think, is about. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.